Hey friends, welcome back to another Field and Garden podcast. It is your friend and host, Lisa Mason Ziegler, and this is a podcast by a flower farmer for flower farmers and for those dreaming of becoming a flower farmer. So friends, I'm glad you're here. Please don't forget, it really helps me a lot if you share, post a review. Only has to be 5 words, y'all. It can be anything. I love reading the review, but the more reviews that we get for our podcast, the more people your podcast app show our podcast to. So that builds our audience, which keeps us doing this, right? So just wanted to say that out of the gate. And friends, this podcast is brought to you by thegardenersworkshop.com, where you can learn more about the work that we're doing on our mission of helping flower farmers or flower growers at all levels, whether you are a home gardener just starting out, as well as right up to starting a farm, hitting the reset button on a flower farm, and even expanding and scaling your farm. So check us out over at thegardenersworkshop.com. So, you know, we're coming to the end of the year, and this is always a time that I feel compelled to look back because I'm looking forward. And I have really learned through the years of being in business that I can learn a lot by looking back over not just the successes, but more importantly, the mistakes and the failures and the catastrophes that I thought they were when they were taking place, and how those things can mold my future. And I want to say, first off, that one thing that I have definitely experienced is that just like how your parents tell you things when you're younger and you are dead sure they are wrong, you are not going to do it that way. That's not what's going to happen. And then 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, you look back and say, good grief, my parents were exactly right. Think how much trouble, time, heartache I would have saved if I'd have just listened to my mom or my dad and done it that way. I mean, could that not be like a whole podcast series in itself, right? Well, friends, I have definitely experienced that to be kind of the same in business. You know, when we come blazing in like I did all those years ago as a flower farmer, you think, well, I'm going to do it this way, which definitely we need to each claim our own path, right? But what I learned is there is definitely shortcuts. And when I say shortcuts, I do not mean not doing important, necessary steps. I mean going down these rabbit holes that I am so, commonly doing. And nothing are wrong with rabbit holes, but some you have to learn when to apply those rabbit holes, I think, is what I'm really learning and looking back, because they're proven to be so many valuable lessons. And that's the catch, right? Which things do you pursue to find your niche? And then what things should you really kind of like, why would I want to reinvent the wheel? Right? That's what I'm trying to really think about. And so one of the struggles that I personally face, and it's one of the strongest ones in business, and this is in life too, right, is exercising restraint. I actually heard on somewhere the other day, a podcast or something I was reading, about, I don't know whether it was Steve Jobs or some super famous, successful business person. And he said that one of his strongest things that he needed to do was to say no to great ideas. Think about that for a minute. To say no to great ideas. And y'all, that just resonated with me so very, very much. I mean, we think up these brainstorms, right? And they are great ideas. They are great. But do we have to chase everyone? Or can we? Or should we? You know, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. And that, for me personally, is just such a great struggle. And as I'm looking back through 25 years, you know, this is our 25th year of me being in business. That's 1998 is when I launched my flower farm business. That's when, you know, I got set up as a business and put the pedal to the metal and started chasing it, right? And my business has evolved so much through the years, but I'm realizing that everything I do is based on growing flowers. It may not all be directly growing and selling flowers, which is so hard for people to understand today, right? It's like, what do you mean you don't sell flowers anymore? It's like, I have realized I cannot chase all the ideas. I cannot pursue all the different avenues because each one deserves more attention. So the number one lesson, valuable lesson that I am trying to remind myself of as I'm looking forward to 2024 is no different for me as a business person that has developed an online garden shop and doing online courses, platforms, and even bringing in other instructors to publish their courses and writing books. Is that it's the same basic recipe to stick to what the main idea is and to not veer from that, to be really good at what you do. And we know that what I am good at is streamlining, teaching others how to grow flowers. And y'all, it's not that I'm some extraordinary grower. That is like complete contrary to what I really am, right? I was just this novice gardener that said, I want to do this and found the simplest, quickest, fastest, easiest way, most economical way to actually do it. I tend to cut through the fog and the smoky parts, right? And make it black and white because that's how you get a lot of stuff done, for me anyway. And when I was first starting my flower farm, that's what I did. And that is what I have kind of tried to do over and over again through the years as I have tackled different and new areas. And if you're a person that's dreaming of making flower farming your, you know, your next gig, your career, your business, it's the same for you as I am moving into 2024 and trying to really like, okay, what are we doing now? Where are we going in the next 5 years? The basic principle of stay in your lane. It is so easy to get pulled to the left or right. And you know, for me, I am so focused on trying so hard to make our team feel like such a part of my business. You know, I'm not a queen sitting on the top. I see everybody in our business as an equal team member, no matter what your position is. Our position is all the same. We're all working for the same goal. And it is really hard for me when team members bring ideas and suggestions that are great, but they're just not in our ballpark. You know, they may seem like they are, but they aren't really. You know, I mean, for as little as us realizing that growing vegetables is a big part of a lot of the lives of the people that actually are our customer, should we, in fact, be selling vegetable seeds? Well, that verdict is still out. But that's what I'm talking about because it's not just adding vegetable seeds in. There's a lot of other things as a business that have to be done for that. And do we have the focus, the time, and the resources? And let's bring that down to back when I started flower farming. I was so quick to peek over the fence and see things that other people were doing and thinking, oh, maybe I should do that too. Oh, it looks like they're selling a lot of those over there. Maybe I should do that. Instead of ramping up my cut flower growing skills, what I was selling, how I was selling it, how I was, the quality of it, how I was processing it, finding customers, instead of just putting blinders on, because aren't we so, it seems to me that we're so focused on being all inclusive and, you know, to do the opposite of what I am seeing as I'm looking back over 25 years of business. We are encouraged to do what I see is actually the opposite, more and more and more. Let's do different, let's bring in more options. Let's bring in, instead of getting really, really, really good at what we actually do. And it's hard because sometimes that means giving up things that you've been doing, and they may be marginally successful, but how much more successful as a flower farmer can you be if you focus on what your niche is? You know, I remember hearing about a grower in the Northeast. This really came out during the pandemic, that just grew their CSA, bouquet subscription, whatever you want to call it, people that commit to your business, pay up front for their flowers, and then whether they pick them up or you deliver them or they come and pick them or whatever, they had like an incredible, I mean, I'm talking hundreds, and I'm even remembering that maybe they had over 1,000 customers. Obviously, they lived in an area where that was an option. You know, they didn't live out 2 hours away from the closest neighbor, right? But they perfected their model. And y'all, it's not that you need to know who that person is. You need to niche down on your opportunities for your business, for what you want to do and how you want to do it. And then guess what? The secret sauce is doing it, y'all. That is what, for me, I used to be a really big spend all winter planning. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't plan, but I find that so many of us, you can plan until the blooming cows come home. But until you get in the trenches and do it, you have no clue how that's going to work out. And I'll give you a great example, totally unrelated to business. So we have just moved into, we put an addition on our home, trying to make our house ready for potential, you know, living here forever, right? Old people stuff, making things flat, making all of these things that as we get older in life, we may need. And we thought that we had planned and just figured out every little detail. You know, I mean, we spent a long time thinking and doing this while we were saving our money, right, to do it. And we've just literally just moved in. And that's kind of what brought this whole subject forefront to me. Things that we just on paper seemed so perfect. Guess what? Doesn't work. It just isn't quite as we seemed. I mean, it can be tweaked and fixed, but it was just a great light bulb moment that, yes, there are steps that you need to take. You need to prepare. You need to be equipped, but you cannot spend your time spinning your wheels, wasting time planning and just doing, planning stuff that you have no idea about what the future, how to actually execute it. You have got to get busy doing it. And so that's kind of what has been happening for me as I look back and see that my business has gone full circle. So back to that, how your parents tell you, you know, give you, offer you advice and your certain they're wrong. I look back at, you know, what mentors and other business people and more experienced business people told me through the years. And I'm just looking back and realizing, holy cow, they're exactly right. And then there's also a natural evolution. I can remember when I interviewed Lynn Bozinski, who Lynn wrote the book, The Flower Farmer, that started so many of us, particularly those of us that have been in flower farming for over a decade. Because y'all remember that back when I started flower farming, we barely had the internet, right? So Lynn is like the rock star of the flower farming world. And she has become a good friend, which, you know, I just could never have seen that coming. I can remember reading her book like 100 times over and over again after I found it and realizing I'd found my dream. And she kind of really gave the footprint of how to really just for me to get started doing that because there were no other resources, right? So when I interviewed her not long ago, and I'll ask Jesse to put in the show notes the episode number of when I talked to her. It was just so good to talk to her before we got recording. And she, who is still ahead of me in the game, right, shared how she's gone full circle. You know, you discover flower farming, you go down a lot of rabbit holes, then you might ramp up your business. And then you come around and guess what? You're back to how you started out, what you thought was the best way to do your business. And then as you start slowing your business down, you realize how the way you perhaps saw as your initial niche, but then you got distracted, that initial niche was really it. And what she kind of was alluding to, how, and I did the very same thing. I started out selling to florists, and that's kind of what she did. And but then you add in all these other ways to sell flowers as you ramp up your volume. And then you realize after the craziness of producing, for us, we went from, you know, starting out on a quarter acre, then a half an acre, then had opportunity to enlarge my farm by purchasing an adjoining acre and a half. I mean, totally unbelievable, considering I live in the middle of the city. I mean, nobody could have ever told me that we would have the option to purchase an acre and a half of the last piece of the largest residential piece of property that was my next door neighbor. We never dreamed we'd be able to buy a piece, and we did. And that allowed us to enter what you may have heard me reference in the past, high production. And we just ramped it up. And we went from producing like 4,000 or 5,000 stems of flowers a week from that small half an acre, to an acre and a half cutting garden, all of a sudden producing 10,000 to 15,000 stems of flowers a week. Well, friends, when you're producing that week after week, guess what? You've got a bunch of blooming flowers to sell week after week. And that's what led me down, you know, multiple farmers markets, supermarkets, huge bouquet subscription, our members only market. You dove in. And Lynn sharing with me how she kind of did the same thing, started selling in other ways, then to realize, and as I got through my high production years and we realized, wow, we got to take the pedal off the metal here, we kind of went back to that original model that we found was our niche for our circumstances, for our life, for our business, for what's available to us. And that is different for everybody, y'all. And, you know, going full circle and landing back where I was in the beginning is how business goes. That doesn't happen for everybody. Some people discover an even better niche. But the common denominator through it all was staying true to my mission, to what we wanted to do, and to try to resist being distracted by a bunch of other things that seem like they're a good fit. And they may be a good fit, but in fact, do you have the resources And do you want to have so many fingers in a pie? And I think, I know that for my audience, I have several friends that it's husband and wife. Flower farming is the way that they earn their living. They're big. It's a huge endeavor. So it's definitely possible, but few people truly want to do that. Most of our audience, the people that I talk to every day, are the people that are looking to add a second income, mamas staying home with babies, people heading into retirement years that don't want to quit working. They want to do something that's more rewarding and richer for their life. And that's me. That's where I'm also headed. But I want to stay true to flower farming. And, you know, one of the things that looking back also really has done for me is it's reminded me of things that this is what happens when you get so involved in other things. You kind of forget about your roots. You forget about where you came from, you know, and a big part of our story has always been, you know, telling the story of not only the story of cut flowers and the industry. And when people learn that, you know, 80% of the flowers that they're buying for, you know, for such a great reason have really kind of an ugly journey to get to them, you know, imported, grown in other countries under kind of horrendous conditions sometimes, and they're already kind of old. Most of them don't have any fragrance. They aren't very fresh. You know, that whole, there's a great way to tell that story without bashing the story, but telling why your story is so fresh and fragrant and longer lasting and local and sweet and keeping your dollars in your community and hiring local people and providing jobs, being a part of saving that whole local scene. And, you know, looking back, I'm realizing, gosh, I don't even tell that story much anymore, you know? And that's from going down rabbit holes. You know, friends, Bobo and I are just so excited where our business is right now, because the farm still grows flowers, but we have shrunk our garden down. I don't know the official measurement of it. I'm going to guess and say it's back to a quarter acre. And we've committed to trying to stay in that footprint, because now that we grow for educational reasons and demonstrations and videoing, to see how much we can squeeze out of a smaller garden and to make that the garden that we personally want to work in. And we're just super excited for all of that, for streamlining and growing. I mean, why would we not grow less and less to sell more? Because it really does work that way. Even though it appears the complete opposite of that, we keep reaching to do more and more and more because, I mean, y'all, and I face that every single day in my business. You need to do more and more and more to scale and grow your business. But in fact, sometimes it's just sticking in your lane, getting better at your niche, and becoming that person, that go-to person, whether you're selling to florists, you're the farmer's market vendor, you're building a CSA, you're building an on-farm private market or a farm stand or whatever you're doing. Sometimes bearing down on one single thing, even though it seems like, can I possibly, you know, increase my business this way? Just saying, looking back over 25 years of business, I believe that is true. I believe that getting better at your one thing and giving all your energy to it can sometimes be that pot at the end of the rainbow, right? You know? And in fact, it's just not true that you have to do more to earn more. I mean, didn't it go back to that whole be smarter, not work smarter, not harder. It's kind of that, but it's not easy to apply. And I know that better than anybody. And, you know, I looked back over the last 25 years for me. And when I looked at my timeline, I see where I just got off the path and then got back on and then got off the path and got back on. And that's normal, y'all. That's just the journey. So I want to say that going down rabbit holes definitely is part of a business journey. But I'm also saying pull yourself back out of those holes and refresh what your mission and your goal is. And it is necessary to have failures and to be feared, to be afraid. Y'all, I'm afraid most days. But just remember this, that you can build that fear up to be a mile wide in your mind. But when you jump into it, what I have found to be true is most often it's only an inch deep. It is so not worthy of your fear. Facing it really has helped me. And there's nothing wrong with being afraid. There's nothing wrong with hard work and being afraid. We just need to learn how to cope with them and to use them to better our goal. And so, friends, I'm going to sign off here. I just wanted to come on and say that, you know, my mom and dad were right. All my business mentors have pretty much been dead on, and those people that I have networked with. And oftentimes, those rabbit holes that I've gone down, in fact, they may have been great ideas, but I wasn't able to address them in the way that they, if that was the only thing I was doing, they'd have been a great idea. But you have to find your why, then what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And then, friends, you just got to do it. So, friends, if you are enjoying my podcast, please give me a thumbs up, share it with your friends, post reviews, subscribe if you're listening to this over on YouTube. That's what keeps this engine running, and we appreciate each and every one of you. And you can learn more about the Gardener's Workshop over at thegardenersworkshop.com, where you'll find a garden shop fully stocked with the same tools, seeds, and supplies that I use, along with my book. And my new book, The Cut Flower Handbook, is coming out and is available now for pre-order, limited amount, because we're only guaranteed a number of books for our first run. And I would love for you to get the bonus free resources that I have made for pre-orders. And also, after the book is out, we have every person that purchases the book through thegardenersworkshop.com will get the flowers that didn't make the book resource. So friends, you'll find that over at thegardenersworkshop.com. Until we meet again, friends, ciao.